Narayana Namaskritam Narum Chevam Narottamam Devim Saraswati Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Nashta Prayeshwa Bhadresu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavata Uttamastoke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Hare Krishna. Good morning to everybody on the call. The Srimad Bhagavatam text this morning is from Canto 5, The Creative Impetus, Chapter 10, Discussion between Jatvarat and Maharaj Rahugan, Text 16. So this morning's service is also a continuation of the discussion that's already we read texts, previous texts about. So text 16. Kastvam nigurascharasi vijanam vibharasi sutram katamo vaduta kasyasi kutra kya ihapi kasmat shemaya nascet asinota shukla. Word for word translation. Kastvam, who are you? Nigudha, very much covered. Charasi, you move within this world. Dvijanam, among the brahmanas or saintly persons. Bibharsi, you also wear. Sutram, the sacred thread belonging to the first class brahmanas. Katama, which? Avadutaha, highly elevated person. Kashyasi, whose are you? Whose disciple or son are you? Kutratya, from where? Iha api, here in this place. Kasmat, for what purpose? Shemaya, for the benefit. Na, of us. Chet, if. Asi, you are. Na uta, or not. Shukla, the personality of the pure mode of goodness. Kapila Dev. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. King Rahugan said, O Brahman, you appear to be moving in this world very much covered and unknown to others. Who are you? Are you a learned Brahman or saintly person? I see that you are wearing a sacred thread. Are you one of those exalted, liberated saints such as Dattatreya and other highly advanced, learned scholars? May I ask whose disciple you are? Where do you live? Why have you come to this place? Is your mission in coming here to do good for us? Please let me know who you are. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Rahugan was very anxious to receive further enlightenment in Vedic knowledge because he could understand that Jatvarat belonged to a Brahman family either by disciplic succession or by birth in a Brahman dynasty. As stated in the Vedas, Tad Vigyanartham Sa Gurum Eva Abhigachet. Mundaka Upanishad 1.2.12. Rahugan was accepting Jatvarat as a guru, but a guru must prove his position not only by wearing a sacred thread, but by advancing knowledge in spiritual life. It is also significant that Rahugan asked Jatvarat which family he belonged to. There are two types of families, one according to dynasty and the other one according to disciplic succession. In either way, one can be enlightened. The word Shukla refers to a person in the mode of goodness. If one wants to receive spiritual knowledge, he must approach a bona fide Brahman guru, either in the disciplic succession or in a family of learned Brahmanas. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyana Gyana Shalakaya Chakshu Omilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale So yam rupa kadama yam dadanti swa padantika. Vandi ham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Cha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Pate Kopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpati Rubyascha Kripa Sindhibhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivha Shari Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hari Hari Hare Rama 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 Hari Hari Hare Krishna 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 Hari Hari Hare Rama 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 Hari Hari Hare Krishna 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 Hari Hari Hare Rama 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 Hari Hari Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutane Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshitarine Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prima Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gurachishe Namaha Ananda Lilamaya Vigrahaya Himabhya Divyacha Vishnuraya Tasmi Mahaprema Ras Padaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So here's the text again. Text 16 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 10. Kastvam nigudas charasi vijanam vivasi sutam katamu vaduta kashasi kutratya ihapi kasmat chemaya nascet asinota sukla. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. King Rahugan said, O Brahman, you appear to be moving in this world very much covered and unknown to others. Who are you? Are you a learned Brahman and saintly person? I see that you were wearing a sacred thread. Are you one of those exalted liberated saints such as Dattatreya and other highly advanced learned scholars? May I ask whose disciple you are? Where do you live? Why have you come to this place? Is your mission in coming here to do good for us? Please let me know who you are. Hare Krishna. So, these are very relevant questions when someone is not understanding the identity of another person, especially when the first person realizes that the person they're inquiring for seems to be a highly advanced soul. Maharaj Rahugan himself was a king, but with the thread on Jadparat and also what he had started speaking about to the king, as you say in America, has put two and two together and realized that he's not an ordinary personality. Jadparat is not an ordinary personality. So now he wants to know a little more about Jadparat's background. When we are in one way or another connected with the personality we deem very important, especially from a spiritual standpoint, we do need to find out something about that person's life. Because when a person is advanced like that, the way Jadparat is, or even see the founder charger of International Society for Krishna Consciousness, we know Srila Prabhupada, we know about him very well. Some of us were able to see him before he left his body. I wasn't one of those. Some devotees still, his disciples, saw him in person. And even other people who were fortunate to come in his audience. Now, learning about Srila Prabhupada and what Srila Prabhupada did for devotees shows the greatness of a very important personality like Srila Prabhupada. He was talked about even before he was born this last lifetime here on the earth in 1896. It was the Lord himself, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya predicted the coming of a personality that Srila Prabhupada. He made it clear that he was spreading Krishna consciousness throughout India. But then there will be a personality that will come and will spread Krishna consciousness throughout the whole world. That person is Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. As it happens in so many situations, at first, nobody really knew he was a personality that was going to spread Krishna consciousness around the world. Many people around him took him for a saint, a person well brought up in a Brahmin family, a Vaishnava family. And when he was little, he demonstrated the fact that he was definitely a Krishna Bhakta. He was very much interested in, among other things, the Rath Yatra. When he was little, his father noticed that about him and set up small deities, had them made of Jagannath Baladeva and Subhadra. A small cart was also made, and he got the peers, those in the neighborhood who were as young as he was or just around his age, to gather together and have a little procession with the little cart with the deities of Jagannath Baladeva and Subhadra. The parents encouraged worship of Krishna. Of course, as a child, he was always around his father when his father was in front of the deities and serving. So this is all indications. These are all indications of signs of a person who is already connected with the transcendental system. So as a child, he was already behaving as a devotee. Now, when he got older and his time was due for him to exhibit or begin to serve the way he was born to do, his spiritual master had already told him, spread Krishna consciousness in the West, in the English language. He was in his 20s when he was told that. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, who was the spiritual master at the time, and still is the spiritual master for Srila Prabhupada, knew that in time he would get everything done. And so he made that statement because he had already told Srila Prabhupada to spread Krishna consciousness in the West. Srila Prabhupada was a grihastha at the time. He had wife, he had children. That family life was his life at the time. He was also in business. And so it wasn't something, all things considered, to leave right away and go to the West, even though the instruction was there. Grihasthas are an important ashram, the grihastha ashram, and the grihastha responsibility is a very important one. It is important, two things about grihasthas: to give charity and also help raise children in Krishna consciousness. We say help raise children. We can, in fact, when the children are young, tell them a lot of what they need to do because they look up to parents. Children naturally look up to parents for guidance. After a while, they form their own identity, especially in the teenage years. And at that time, Srila Prabhupada suggests that you, in fact, begin to share wisdom with them. You can't be as controlling because then, even if they don't show it openly, in their mind, they will begin to rebel. That is the age that those things happen. Because they also want to reason. And their minds, to them, are developed to a point where they need to also share their thoughts. And so that would happen. And sometimes, in many, many homes, the break from a parent being more controlling, the parent thinking that they're guiding, to a point where they have to actually hear and begin to be friendly rather than the controller for the child, that is always a gray area. Sometimes it takes some situations that are unpleasant, not unfortunate, but unpleasant, they happen for the child to exert themselves and say, I need to be listened to also. Now, in some cultures, depending on the way the whole culture is structured, the children have say early, and in other cultures, they have to just get past 20 years old before they even get listened to. But that's all material rules. Srila Prabhupada said, when your child is past 15, that is 15, begin to reason with them. That is the instruction he gave. Begin to reason with them. He said, at no point when the child is little, do you actually beat the child up. So, of course, cultures, they vary from one to another, but I don't know too many children that were beating up or were actually hit badly as children by parents who actually grew up and said, oh, what a wonderful thing you did to me. Usually don't have good thoughts at all or good vibes about that situation. It's a difficult situation for a child to go through. True enough, it is that the child needs guidance and would do a lot of things wrong when they little. But still, Srila Prabhupada says you don't hit them. You can, in fact, he says you can show, you know, indignation. You can show anger. You can, you know, that especially if you've said it so many times and the child doesn't do what it's supposed to do, you can, in fact, show the child that you're upset with what they, you know, they're not listening to. That you can. You said you can. But to go to that point, and especially use insulting words, that has lasting, more lasting effect on the child than we know. So, we need to stay away from those kind of things. Insult, and I'll just say one thing about it. When somebody says, no, you're no good, you're not going to amount to anything good in the future, and so, and on and on and on, words like that, they are very discouraging to the child. Sometimes the child will rebel and say, I'm going to prove to my parents that I'm worth something. Yeah, that's good for the child if they think that way. But sometimes the children give up because, oh, the parent says I'm not going to be any good. And he might stay in the child's mind. I know of might stay in the child's mind for a long time. I know of a grown-up when we means my family, we traveled to Singapore, Malaysia area. And we met some of the extended family members. And there was one that had gone through quite a bit of changes in his life because he couldn't give up the idea that the father said he was not going to amount to any good when he was little. So in the house, you know, we went to visit and of course we're from the United States and we went to, that time we're in Malaysia. And we had to say a few things. We means, you know, myself, but through the guidance of my spiritual master, to help him to disconnect from that. And now you're speaking to an adult who has children now, children, teenage children, even there. So at the time we said those things, we made sure that the children were not, his children were not here there to see, to hear the advice. You know, it was good for him, but still, we made sure that at that time the children were not, they were in another room. His children were in another room. His wife was there, and his wife was actually the one that was even more concerned about how her husband was behaving because of those things that his father had told him earlier when he was little. You're no good, you're not going to amount to any good. So in many ways, the wife was hinting that he could do more, you know, her husband could do more for himself, and he was not doing it. And the reason was that he still feels put down because he was said so much to him when he was younger that he won't amount to much. So a little advice, I'm sure, part of it, you know, we'll say part of it was confidential, but part of it was that when you're a parent and you tell a child that the child is not going to be any good, understand one thing, you're the one as a parent raising the child. You're supposed to raise the child so the child becomes a responsible person. But if you say the child is not going to do any good, what does that say about you as a parent? That was the point we're making to him. That actually he's putting his father is putting himself down. Because if the father raised the child and the father is going to say the child is no good, other people who hear that father talk about that would say, but you are the parent. You are supposed to bring the child up. And basically what you are saying in so many words without you realizing it was that you did a terrible job as a parent. So it took going to that angle for him to begin to realize you need to take it out of your mind. He himself, he the father, is actually putting himself down, but he doesn't realize that. And secondly, you keeping that won't make you strive hard and become the kind of person, a responsible person that you could be in the future. Not that he wasn't totally responsible. He had children and he actually cared for them as much as he could as a father. But this mantra was still at the back of his mind that he was no good because his father, the children's grandfather, said this. So sometimes it may seem like it's a light thing to talk about, but it can have lasting. This is a person that's almost 40 years old now when I met him. Or a little over 40 when I met him. So they're teenage children and still suffering like this. So we have to be careful. Anyway, to come back to this point, so here's Maharaj Ahugan saying, O Brahman, you appear to be moving in this world very much covered and unknown to others. Who are you? Now, as a king, yes, he was very much is right to inquire about someone who is a saintly person who seems to be acting covertly, and even in such a way that people will not even take notice of him. Then look one time. You can look at him one time and say, well, he's so dirty. Well, nothing good could come out of this person. So leave him alone. And this is exactly what Dhatvarat wanted. He wanted to be left alone because of what he had been through earlier, being in a deer body the previous life. And then this life, he was determined to be better spiritually. Now, another point here that Maharaj Ahugan expressed was, he was telling Dhatvarat, I see you're wearing the sacred thread. Are you one of those exalted liberated saints? Such as Dattatreya. Now, Dattatreya is a partial incarnation of Lord Vishnu. He was born from Atrimuni and Anusuya. Atrimuni is one of the sons of Lord Brahma, a sage. So Maharaj Ahugan's thinking is a good lesson for us. If you're trying to find out about someone and you know that they are brahminical, from what you see, the signs, the outward signs, it's a good idea to think of the person as highly elevated. This is why Srila Prabhupada indirectly put it this way. It's the same thing, but put in an instruction form to us that when we talk to somebody else, we call them Prabhu. It's the same level of same type of thinking. Look at the person that they are, Prabhu, and you are servant serving them. So you refer to them that way. So Maharaj Ahugan, in a longer way of expressing the same thing with Prabhu, are you one of those exalted, Prabhu is supposed to be exalted, master is exalted to some extent, liberated saints such as Dattatreya. Dattatreya has mentioned earlier, Atrimuni and Anusuya, who were, they themselves quite, exalted, gave birth. The pastime was that they wanted the Lord as, they wanted a son like the Lord. Well, you can't have a son like the Lord because the Lord himself is one without a second. So you either have the Lord or you don't. And so they went through austerities. Atrimuni and his wife Anusuya went through austerities for a relatively long period of time. They were approached by the Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva, and Lord Brahma, and they promised them, and them meaning Atrimuni and Anusuya, that they will in fact make it possible for the two of them, Atrimuni and Anusuya, to give birth. So, birth connecting to them. And so the partial incarnations were born. Dattatreya is a partial incarnation of Lord Vishnu. then Durvasa Muni, Passion Incarnation of Lord Shiva, and the Passion Incarnation of Lord Brahma was Soma. So Dattatreya, Soma, and Durvasa Muni were born to Atrimuni and Anusuya. So Dattatreya is that high in Passion Incarnation of Lord Vishnu. And that's who Maharaj Rahugan compared Jatparat to, that high. So, and he also continued, "May I ask whose disciple you are?" So again, Maharaj Rahugan is assuming, and in this case, it is actually the best thing to do, to assume that this highly advanced devotee of the Lord is connected to the Parampara. So then he asked, "May I ask whose disciple you are?" It's quite a common question. When devotees are impressed with another devotee, they go, "Who's the spiritual master for this?" Or sometimes just in meeting and talking, when you find out a person is initiated, you may ask the spiritual master. This reminds me of another story in Allahabad. Srila Prabhupada was running a pharmacy business through the help of Dr. Bose. And one day, there were three devotees, you could just tell from their garb, they were all wearing saffron, that came to the pharmacy. And Srila Prabhupada was the boss there. And so he was told by some of the employees that there were three sadhus there to see him, because they asked to see Srila Prabhupada, Abhay Babu. And so Srila Prabhupada at first thought that since it was a pharmacy, maybe they were just coming for to get some medicine. He was thinking, because he was in the work mode, so he was thinking like that. But he said, "Sure, I'll see him." So he stopped everything he was doing and he met them and he, you know, greeted them nicely, and based on the culture, he made them comfortable. And then he asked what their mission was. But before that, he asked about their identity, which they, one who was wearing a sannyas garb, was obvious that he was wearing a sannyas garb. She introduced the others, the two were brahmacharis. And the first question after that from Srila Prabhupada was, he could have asked whose spiritual master they were, but he assumed that they were disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. So that's what he asked. "Are you disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj?" Now, Srila Prabhupada himself was not initiated at the time, but he had accepted Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj in his heart as a spiritual master. This point, in fact, came up in their discussion. So the sannyas said, "No, actually, I'm a disciple of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur," which surprised Prabhupada, Abhay Babu, quite a bit. And then he asked them, they asked why he first mentioned Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, thinking that that was a spiritual master for them. Then Srila Prabhupada said, in another question, that "Are you initiated by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj?" Srila Prabhupada says, "No, but I've actually accepted him as my spiritual master." No meaning that the actual ritual had not been done yet, the samskara itself. But then it's not, but he's accepted, you know, "In my heart, he is my spiritual master." This is the way Abhay Babu, Srila Prabhupada, put it. And then the sannyasi responded, "That is the most important thing. That's the most important thing." Meaning that if you're not initiated through a whole ceremony yet, and haven't gotten your name, Das or Dasi, but you know who you are connected with, and that spiritual master you want to connect with, and that spiritual master also knows that. And both of you are aware that this samskara, this ritual will take place at some point where you'll be given the name, you'll be given the beads, but your heart is already accepted, and the spiritual master accepts the fact that you would be a disciple later on. Now, this person is already a spiritual master at that point. Then it is really established, spiritually it's established. The time will come, though, for the actual performance of the whole Yagya in front of Agni, in front of the devotees, in front of spiritual master, in front of the deities. That will all happen. That may come later. So the conversation, that's what we picked up for. So Jat Parak was being asked, may I ask who this disciple you are? Where do you live? The king would ask that. Even sometimes a person who is just an elderly person could ask, why have you come to this place? The place was in the middle of nowhere. Maharaj Ahugan was being carried in a palanquin. So this is a travel place. That's why he asked, where do you live? Because he didn't see a house nearby where maybe it could be the place where Jat Parak was living. Besides, they had carried the palanquin for a distance before all of this happened. So, very much in his right, very much a good question for Maharaj Ahugan to ask about where he lived. Why have you come to this place? Is your mission in coming here to do good for us? Is your mission in coming here to do good for us? Please let me know who you are. So, Maharaj Ahugan realizes Jat Parak is Brahminical. The thread is an indication. He was wearing the sacred thread. And that's why he said, are you one of those liberated and exalted saints? As in the case of Dattatreya, who's actually Lord Vishnu's partial incarnation. So in the purport, Maharaj Ahugan, Srila Prabhupada is saying, was very anxious to receive further enlightenment and Vedic knowledge, because he could understand that Jat Parak belonged to a Brahminical family, either by disciplic succession or by birth in the Brahmin dynasty. If you're fortunate to be born in a fixed up Vaishnav family, then right from birth, you live according to the way a devotee is supposed to live. Even if a person, the young person doesn't even understand that, he or she begins to live that way because the parents are the ones that run things in the house, and they run it according to Vaishnav principles. So a person that's born that way is very fortunate. There are some of us that were born in a family of meat eaters, and later on, by the mercy of a devotee, got changed into or connected to Krishna consciousness. Now, such people who get connected to Krishna consciousness later on already have thoughts about some things in transcendence, but it's not clear yet in the mind at the time. Sometimes when they're younger, they realize that life is not quite the way it's supposed to be that they'll be comfortable with. It's not quite like that. And sometimes those people try things for sense gratification, but they're never happy. So when that is happening, that is an indication, especially when the person begins to speak to someone spiritual or knows much about spirituality and they want to find out more and more, they're eager to find out more and more, they are already connected with spirituality, and that is just reawakening. See, Prabhupada explained this when he was here in this in the country, in the United States. Some of his disciples, in the morning walk, he was explaining one time, he was actually asking them questions, but he was asking the disciples questions to get to a point. So he said, did I force anything on you? I'm just paraphrasing, but pretty much this is what he was saying. Did I give you some bribe to listen to me? Did I force something on you? And so he asked questions in that manner, you know, along those lines. And then he concluded that Krishna consciousness is already in you. All I did was to awaken it. But he's also said Krishna consciousness is in everyone. This is our natural birthright. We are supposed to be Krishna conscious wherever we are. But because there are people who want to be the controllers to lord it over material nature, then they willingly put aside Krishna consciousness. Even if they hear about it, they don't want to connect with it. And therefore, they remain as, you know, people who like fruitive things. They work for sense gratification, which we call karmis. Some people are yogis, and they also do, you know, connecting a little more with spirituality, but in a different way than the way bhaktas do. Bhaktas are totally submitted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they serve devotees, the other devotees, they serve Krishna, and then they also serve Guru. Guru is a connection to Krishna. So, where do you live? Why have you come to this place? Is your mission here to do good for us? Please let me know who you are. So, Maharaj Ahugan was accepting Jatparat as a guru because Jatparat had already started speaking transcendental knowledge to Maharaj Ahugan. So Maharaj Ahugan knew that there was more, that he had started off, if he had started off that way, Jatparat had started off that way, there had to be more that he, Maharaj Ahugan, could benefit by listening to Jatparat, which brings us to a point. Of the 9 processes, hearing was the first one. Chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, is the Yugadam. That is our connection. That is, as Srila Prabhupada sometimes quipped about, I know Krishna, I know God, I even know his telephone number. The way to connect with him, when you call and telephone, you're connecting with somebody. So the Hare Krishna mantra is our connection to Guru and to Krishna. So, it brings to that point that Jatparat was not being accepted as guru. You might say, well, there was no initiation. Well, we're talking about a Shiksha guru here. We're talking about an instructing guru. There is Diksha guru. That is the one that makes the contract that they will, in fact, guide the disciple in the journey back to the spiritual world. That's the Diksha guru. Initiation, the whole samskara that makes that contract, and of course also there's an agreement with the disciple and spiritual master. The disciple is supposed to now hear the spiritual master and be guided by that particular spiritual master. So that's also, that's Diksha. And if I could speak a little bit about that, upon the disciple leaving the body, the spiritual master, the Diksha Guru, initiating Guru, connects with that disciple. And for where the disciple has to go next, that direction comes from the transcendental system, true enough, but the spiritual master is also a guide at that time. As a matter of fact, that this person has actually been so hardworking and so determined in bhakti, in devotional service, that Krishna would have mercy on this person to go back to spiritual world. Krishna is the one that decides finally. The spiritual master and the disciple meet Krishna. They meet Krishna. Now, His Holiness Late Bhakti Chiruswami, also in a short video that I heard him describing to us, especially those of us members of ISKCON, how fortunate we are in so many ways because of Srila Prabhupada. So he put it this way. Again, a person is leaving, so it's on the same, along the same lines, when the disciple or devotee of a devotee of Srila Prabhupada, second generation person is leaving, or Srila Prabhupada himself, his disciple is coming. They will meet Srila Prabhupada. Either way, to go back to the spiritual world, second generation person or direct disciple of Srila Prabhupada will meet Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, he said, Srila Prabhupada will introduce that person to Krishna. That is when it's quite clear that there's a high chance that that person will be accepted by Krishna in the spiritual world. So what we should look forward to is being accepted by Krishna, being given the mercy to go back home. Krishna saying, yes, you can. Now, we do 16 rounds instead of 64 rounds. This is why we are considered Vaishnavs, but Vaishnavs given the mercy by Srila Prabhupada. And this is why Srila Bhakti Chiruswami put it this way, that we have to go through Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, to Krishna, and then from Krishna's mercy, be accepted back home. And that's why I said you will be introduced. Now, those of us that never saw Srila Prabhupada in person, because we know his videos, seen pictures of him and videos, but we never saw him in person, this would be something to really, really look forward to, meeting Srila Prabhupada in the spiritual world. But it's through his mercy that we go back. And that's why we are actually to be warned about taking ISKCON as Srila Prabhupada's body and taking ISKCON very seriously. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON, is a society that the majority of devotees in here are going through purification. And when the devotee is going through purification, means there are some things there that are not so great that needs to come out and needs to be changed or gotten out of the person's life, changed for the better. So that's going to happen a lot, since the majority of devotees are actually conditioned souls. That's going to happen a lot. Just like when you have a classroom, it's the students that outnumber the teacher. Usually there's just one teacher, a whole bunch of students, a few or a lot, but the students are the majority. So in ISKCON also, those who have come to help us back, they are in a minority. The conditioned souls are disciples who are in the majority. So, and if they are in the majority, then it's more stuff that's going to come out, because in cleaning up the person, the disciple or the devotee, the bad things have to come out first. The analogy is given about sweeping. If you want to clean up a place, when you start sweeping, the dirt comes out first, and then it gets gathered and taken out. So we are going to see something, whether we like it or not. It's just that patience is needed, tolerance is needed, and not being offensive by insulting or getting angry or criticizing, that's also needed. Because a person, as my Guru Maharaj likes to say, everybody is a devotee of a Lord. Everybody. It's just that some people are being directed to that fact, and they're living like that or trying to live like that. And then the others too, who aren't aware that they are devotees of the Lord, that is kamis. That's the way it is, but everybody is connected to Krishna's energy. If you're a devotee, you're connected to the superior energy, the internal energy. And if you don't want to be a devotee, you want to just do sense gratification, then you're connected to his external energy. But that's still his energy though. It's still his energy. So nobody escapes Krishna. One way or the other, you're connected to one of his energies. Antaranga Shakti or Bahiranga Shakti, the internal or the external energy. We are in the situation we say Tatastha, because we have a choice to take the internal or the external or the separated energy and live according to that. We are being guided by gurus, are instructing gurus to move always towards the internal energy, the superior energy. And so we are fortunate to be given that type of direction. Anyway, so in the Jat Bharat situation, Maharaj Ahugan already knew that there are two types of families. One according to the dynasty, that is where the family that you grew up in or you were born to, and others according to the cyclic succession, that is by the mercy of Krishna, one gets Guru, Yashad, Prashad, Bhagavat, Prasadam. So, it could be one of those. So he was just inquiring at that time. So, Maharaj Ahugan finally was giving Jat Bharat wonderful praise for the kind of person that he was. And Srila Prabhupada brings up the point, the word Shukla refers to a person in the mode of goodness. And Srila Prabhupada says, if one wants to receive spiritual knowledge, then he must approach a bona fide guru, Brahman is one mode of goodness, Vaishnav, transcendence, it's even better, either in the disciplic succession, the parampara, or in the family who already know what Bhakti Yoga is. So, a few things about spiritual master, and then we'll stop and ask for questions or comments. So, approaching a spiritual master. What are the advantages? One, the spiritual master guides spiritually by his words and also his actions. The spiritual master is an acharya. They preach and they also act. So what he tells you to do, you must do, because if he's a bona fide spiritual master, he will be giving you good advice and good instruction. You have to take the instructions to heart and perform it. And the sooner, the better. You always have to prioritize what the spiritual master has said to do in front of other things that you want to do. That is the best way for a disciple to hear a spiritual master, or for a devotee to hear a Shiksha Guru. Now, the spiritual master receives information from Krishna, tailored for the devotee. on condition that the devotee has faith in Guru and Krishna. Why? The Guru is the bona fide representative of Krishna. So the person listening to the Guru has to believe that the words coming from the Guru are words tailored by Krishna and being channeled through the Guru to that particular devotee. You should have faith like that. We should have faith like that. So the information received, and many times, I'll talk about, just don't like to talk about myself so much, but still as a disciple of Bhaktivedanta Swami, I remember many times, I would take the instruction he says, especially something to do, and I would do it most of the time right away, unless there's something else that pulls me, and at that time I have it at the back of my mind, I have to do what my Guru Maharaj said to do. But many times, the effect that it had was tremendous. Just the effect that the instruction had on me was tremendous. I knew that the transcendental system is nothing to be joked with. Every time he told me something to do, my heart felt so good. Every time. And I don't know to this day why, but that's what's happening. Until one time, indirectly, it was explained. But directly, and I didn't know why. I mean, I'm going to say I don't know why. I don't know how it actually works out that way. But it was explained, and that's the only connection I know. That's why I'm sharing. The only connection I know about that is when the Guru gives you instruction, he gives you the Shakti, the energy also, to get it done. And my assumption here is, now maybe speculating, but you know, forgive me if it's speculation, but the Shakti that Maharaj asked to the instruction was what was making me feel good about the instruction, even before getting it done. It's the only thing I can just put two and two together. It's coming to me at this point. It's coming to me at this point. So the point is, when you hear instruction from Guru, it should excite you. You should put it as priority. Even if it doesn't excite you much, because it's challenging sometimes, it should still be given a priority. And when you begin to do that and you do it from the bottom of your heart and do it well, you will feel a great sense of achievement, better than doing anything that's material. The spiritual master's instruction carried out gives a much, much, much better, deeper feeling because it connects with the soul. And our real personality is from the soul. Spiritual personality, that is, not material one. And so the instruction from Guru is extremely important. That's Maharaj Hugan couldn't wait to hear more from Jat Bharat because he knew he was going to benefit wonderfully from it. So the other point is, obeying the Guru gives tremendous progress in Krishna consciousness. That's why when you get instructions, you do it and do it right away. Because if you give it priority, then you also progress tremendously in Krishna consciousness. More rapidly that way, the more you obey Guru. Because he's a representative of Krishna. Now, connecting with Guru and serving him based on his mission, on the Guru's mission, or direct instruction of what you need to do, special instruction tailored for you, the disciple, it ensures a high probability of going back to Godhead. Why? Well, Guru is already connected with the parampara that goes back to Godhead. Krishna himself. Krishna is absolute. So, connecting with Guru and serving him based on his mission ensures a high probability of going back to Godhead. Therefore, we should ask. The Guru that's initiated you, ask what he wants you to do. Ask him. You have to connect with him. He said, well, I cannot talk to my Guru now. I cannot email. Sometimes there are situations where it's impossible to reach him. Some means that we know about, but there's always one means though. One is always there, and that is to speak, to offer obeisances, and to speak to his picture. The potency is there. When we connect to Guru through the Guru's picture, we still get benefit like we've connected directly with him. This physical body, that is. It is there. There's a whole story behind that. I'm looking at the times. Maybe another time I'll talk about that. That happened with my god brother. But yeah, through his picture, you can in fact get instruction. And the short connection to that is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj took sannyas, Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, took sannyas with the picture of Gokishore Das Babaji, his spiritual master. Gokishore Das Babaji had left at the time. He got Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj took sannyas with the picture of his guru. So the picture is just as potent as the guru himself. Finally, we should follow the charges. And one of the points that the charges make, this is the introduction side of Bhagavad Gita, that we have to be very much attached to Krishna in all the things we do daily. And the easiest way in Kali Yuga to attach to Krishna is Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The Hare Krishna mantra, the connection to the spiritual world through Guru. So, Maharaj Rahugan was inquiring about who Jat Bharat was because he had gotten transcendental information, a little bit of it, and wanted to know more. And now he was being respectful and not insulting to Jat Bharat and wanted to hear more. So the text coming up, there will be more from Jat Bharat. Hare Krishna. So here's the translation again in English. King Rahugan said, O Brahman, you appear to be moving in this world very much covered and unknown to others. Who are you? Are you a learned Brahman and saintly person? I see that you're wearing a sacred thread. Are you one of those exalted, liberated saints such as Dattatreya and other highly advanced learned scholars? May I ask whose disciple you are? Where do you live? Why have you come to this place? Is your mission in coming here to do good for us? Please let me know who you are. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, thank you. If there are any questions, we can star 6 and ask at this point. Hare Krishna. So, are there any questions?
Hare Krishna.
Jai. Jai. Krishna's mercy. Hare Krishna. Jai. Gosh, Shri Prabhupada. Jai, go Shri Prabhupada. So any questions?
Okay,
Hare Krishna. Jai. 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 Hare Krishna. Jai.